Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Chamber Biz Buzz. I'm Julie Pastrick, President and CEO of the Greater Flagstaff Chamber. Always so honored and happy to have you sitting in with me and great guests that we bring you every week. Today, Julie Lancaster is here. Lancaster Leadership. Julie, welcome to Chamber Biz Buzz.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, you know, you're just an amazing person who has this way of getting people to talk about who they are, what they do, and probably build them up and help them get to their next level.
What a nice thing to say, Julie.
What was it that was in your heart, you know, that made you think, leadership is where I want to land? Were you always there, or have we just gotten there? You're going to tell me I've not landed yet, Julie.
You have landed, but we're always all landing and re-landing. But that's a question that I don't think about very much. Why did I land on leadership?
Because of probably the coaching that you did for so long ended up in emphasizing to leaders, these are the ways you could get the most outcome out of what you need to do and live a great life.
Yes. Well, I do believe that if we are willing to embrace leadership, and I believe that everybody's a leader, meaning that it's how we live our lives. It's not about our position.
I agree.
Yeah. Then we get to really utilize our impact and our desire to have connection at a next level. And quite frankly, I started this business 14 years ago, and I was sitting at a ladies' night out with a few friends. At the time, I was the dean of education at a college, and I said, I think there's something bigger out there for me. So I had been at the leadership game for a while.
I like that. See, that's the answer. You could feel it.
I could feel this gut feeling. That's right. But then it was the power of connection, where when we speak our goals or our desires or our vision into the atmosphere, one of the friends at the table, she said, I know somebody who you need to meet. And within a month, I swear, I was quitting my job and I was going to subcontract and be with her and go train and coach leaders at the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. And then it kind of has blossomed since that.
That's amazing. And I have to say that I've known you for quite some time in Flagstaff, and I've watched you grow and I've watched your network grow. And it has been so gratifying, I believe, for all of us, because you really focused on the growth of the group and the growth of the one. It really doesn't matter, but you help people be practical and think practically about long-term success. And so that aspect of leadership isn't always easy, because not everybody thinks long-term.
That is so pertinent to what we're all talking about right now, kind of in the leadership spaces. So my team, we do leadership individual and team development for organizations who believe in having both productivity and joy. And what we were seeing really for the first half of the year in this year is that people were feeling kind of listless like that. They didn't have a plan. They didn't have a roadmap for how do we want to get from here to there, because there was a lot of feeling of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So that idea of how to be practical and put actual things onto the calendar, events, strategies, trainings, ways to develop, people were kind of struggling with how to do that.
Be calmer. Don't be so emotional and don't be so hard on yourself. You know, but I see it, Julie, all the time. I see that difference in people all the time, and I do not know why. I do also think I'm a good judge of character. Those are two assets that are kind of quiet assets that people don't know about. But I can see how that person is focusing on long-term success, and nothing has to be quick. Nothing has to be tomorrow. But then I see the others who feel like tomorrow's the answer, and I think I have to move forward. So the mix and the blend that you get from the people that you are coaching is really beyond words to me. Julie just published a book called Beyond Words, How Our Stories and Strategies Inspire Leadership Action. Let's talk about that. And what made you do that? It's a beautiful publication, by the way.
Oh, so kind. Thank you for saying that. You know, it's interesting because as you're talking about the two different kinds of people, the ones that are immediate, shoot from the hip, let's go. And then the ones who are kind of more the visionaries. This book and what I see people needing to have to be successful leaders these days is that ability to turn vision into action. Like, it starts with the spark, right? We can't do anything without the spark happening first. And so it's the big idea, and the bigger we can get and the messier we can get, sometimes the better. And then we can narrow and get concrete and turn into practical. And that's kind of how this book came to fruition for me. I was recording a bunch of videos for we have kind of a learning learning library behind the scenes where our leaders get to watch like short micro learning courses on accountability or how to handle stress in the workplace or how to manage others or strategically plan. There's all these things. And one day it dawned on me, I was like, wait a minute, these video kind of short teachings, that these videos that I'm recording.
Yes. Sounds so awesome.
Yeah. And I really believe in micro learning because, you know, we as leaders, we're busy. We don't have a lot of time for stuff like that sometimes.
But that spark of just something that inspires you at the moment, I think is priceless. Because, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong or flawed in the people that want to move forward quicker than the ones that are really more long-term. Because I think in the end, there's a long-term result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just before coming here, I was on a walk at Buffalo Park with someone who's a leader in the parks and recreation space. And she said what she's been seeing is that people have gotten a little bit complacent, meaning that they are not necessarily setting goals or dreaming big. So we were talking about how do you help to create that spark for people so that they can see the possibility for themselves to move forward. So this book, Julie, you might laugh at this, but I grew up never being a storyteller. I actually thought that I even hated stories.
Oh, I love stories so much.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Because I'm a salesperson and sales is all about stories, no matter what you're selling, if it's yourself or a gallon of milk.
Exactly. A gallon the same. Of milk. So good. Yes. But I had grown up in this environment where I was around a lot of long-winded storytellers. Would suck the air out of the room and would tell things that were irrelevant to me.
Yes.
So this book is about how can you be influential? How can you lead with impact? But also there's a really particular way to utilize stories. So once I learned that once you do it in a good way, they can be fantastic. I've learned that's the most impactful thing. If we can partner stories with leadership strategies, the sky is the limit.
I love that. And that's what it says, listeners, on the cover of Julie's latest publication. I'm speaking with Julie Lancaster, well-known leadership coach in the area, how our stories and strategies inspire leadership action. So I guess I would be remiss because you have led a retreat for our chamber board of directors, and you work with so many different types of industries, many private sector, many public. What challenges do you see businesses trying to solve these days, or even your public sector friend from the walk this morning? Is there a crossover?
There are, and there's a lot of trends that are happening right now. So the really cool thing is we get to serve 85% of our business is in Arizona, which I love that because I love giving back to the community in which I'm a part.
And we love it when you're here.
Oh, thank you. The other percent is around the country, but also around the world. So I do feel lucky that I have had the chance to be in rooms. My team actually were in about 150 different rooms each year, talking about leadership and helping leaders. The biggest thing the second half of the year that we're seeing that people are sharing that they want help and support with is succession planning. The idea that they want to build the bench and they want to have enough people that are ready for the next level so that they can prepare their teams now. Have you seen that within what you've observed?
We have seen that. We know that it's a topic nationally within the entire chamber industry. And we know that it's almost because you can't long-term plan if there is a succession problem or if there's no succession plan. But the succession planning, give us your definition of what succession planning is, because there's different meanings.
Oh, you're so right. Well, here's an example that I think really illustrates it. So I was working with a leader and he said, none of the 60 people who are under me, who are on my team, would be ready to take on my job if I left. And my first thought was like, is that arrogant? But my second thought was, well, I think he's actually quite right. So my definition is having people that are ready, that we are identifying the skill gap from here to there. And so that when a next position becomes ready within the organization, they can be ready to take it.
That's such a big word, skills gap. And I have studied skills and skills attainment, skills gaps, the effect on company effectiveness or company growth, or vice versa, not doing so well because they don't have the right skills to deal with the problems day to day and or to get on a roadmap for the future. And it's really not that hard to figure it out, but it is important to make sure that everybody on the team has skills training and or skills that you admire the skills that they're bringing to the table. And if they say, I would really like a bump in this area, respond to it. Because because it'll make a difference in the entire success of the entity, because it just might be one leadership trait that they're missing. Maybe they're too hard on people, or maybe they don't want to give a second chance, or it might just be one trait that's missing. And that skills training and talking about it in a way like you do in a group of many different people in the room really opens people's minds to what leadership style they could change to, or add something they can add to be even more effective.
Absolutely. And the thing is, Julie, that I see is that organizations first and foremost have to be brave enough to spend time and money on developing their people. Quite frankly, just that simple. It starts there.
Number one.
And I was talking to a county HR department this morning, and they are responsible for 13,000 employees. And so their job is to help create people strategy for the entire county. And so I was so inspired to hear how what they are wanting to put into their own strategic plan, it might include things like mentorship or cross training or training or creating cultures of feedback, or really having gap identification and growth area identification be something that everybody does.
That's a lot of people.
That's right.
I can't hardly believe that number.
I know. It's a lot of people, and it's quite an honor for them to get to create a plan, but it's also daunting. So for people who are like, well, it does feel daunting, or I don't have that many people to work with
or
support. I really see that when we are working with new leaders, especially if someone's new to their role within the last 4 years, there are three things that we help them to do.
And what are those?
Should I help share this? Yeah. The first one is we help them to write a quarterly strategic plan, which we help people do, but quite frankly, all of the listeners, you can do this with your teams as well, just for the quarter, and then communicate it with your team. It sounds simple, but it's often not done.
Sure.
And second is to write a leadership philosophy, which means the person themselves sitting down and think, what do I believe in? What are my values? How do I operate best? What do I want this team to look like? What's the culture I want to create?
And it's okay if all those are differing, huh? We just have to blend them.
Exactly. And we first have to be clear so that we have our own compass for when we get off track. And the third is also simple. It's taking a leadership assessment, or being willing to be vulnerable and honest to identify strengths that can be maximized. Like sometimes we call those the zones of genius, and also identify gaps and be humble enough to ask for help, to get coaching, training, support on how to develop those.
You know, I love that. And I would add, and I don't know if you would think this is very nice or not, but I would add, when you are identifying the gaps, be bold enough to make changes. Because if you don't make changes and you keep going on that same path, in time, those assets of others erode a little bit because the gap is too hard to cover, or the gap causes too much of a, we're not really moving together.
Absolutely.
Like we should.
The goal of effective leadership is to recognize that everything is constantly changing. So if we are not evolving.
And it's really not about an in cement quarterly plan or an in cement evaluation here
or
there. It's just a path. It's just a guide. It's like a budget. I never get too stressed about annual budgets. Most of my friends would say, Julie, that is just not true, because a budget is a guideline. It is not in stone. This is what we're going to do. And if we don't do this, it's a guideline. It helps you look forward. Did this work? What do I have to know about this next quarter? Just like you're saying, in the framework of a year. Julie, we have to go. And I absolutely love speaking with you, and love the fact that I have a copy right in front of me of Beyond Words, Our Stories and Strategies, Inspiring Leadership Action, that you have just published. What do you want to tell our listeners? I want them to get it for some of their best kids and or friends.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. Well, it's available everywhere. Local bookshops here in Flagstaff, as well as online, Amazon. There's an audio version. There's the paper version. There's the Kindle version.
It's a little bit of everything. I love it. How can our listeners get a hold of Julie Lancaster or Lancaster Leadership?
Oh, awesome. So we have a website, which is lancasterleadership.com. And in the new year, we're also going to be putting together an author-led book club. So if people are interested, you can get on our website and see how to join.
How do you spell Lancaster?
Oh, good one. There's no D.
There we go.
L-A-N-C-A-S-T-E-R.
Lancaster Leadership. Well, I'm just so thankful that you could make time. I know how busy you are, and you've really inspired me during our talk. I've taken a few notes, and I just think that the whole idea day-to-day of being the best you is kind of like a cookie. How it crumbles is up to you, but what Julie has said, all the tips she's taking about writing things down and being forward-looking and being organized, really make a big difference. So best to you and keep doing what you're doing and keep staying in Flagstaff.
Oh, thank you, Julie. Such a pleasure.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for this version of Chamber Biz Buzz. I'm Julie Pastrick saying goodbye to Julie Lancaster on Chamber Biz Buzz. So happy that you tuned in with us today and look forward to many programs together. And I guess for today, that's a wrap. I'll see you next time on the radio. You've been listening to the Chamber Biz Buzz Show, brought to you by the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce. Today's show has been edited and produced by Clay McCausland with Great Circle Media. We'll see you next time on the radio.